strong words there. Well, Terry Edge is a fire safety expert and is joining me now.
On the phone away.
Terry, good morning to you.
Hello.
Good morning. Strong words there from Tiago Alves, saying that, look, they're hiding behind the bravery of their firefighters. Where are you placed on this? Have you seen the report?
I have, yes. I went through it yesterday.
And what do you think?
Well, my area of concern is mainly the laws around the fire safety of upholstered furniture. But I also am an advisor to the Fire Brigade Union new contaminants group. So my concern is how the fire safety laws of furniture were known to have failed 5 years ago by the government, who's failed to put them right, and that, therefore that affected the fire more than it should have done.
That's news to me. I thought that all
the problem is news to you.
Yes, yeah. It is. It really is, because I assumed, as I expect many people listening this morning, that all furniture was of a standard of fire safety. We see the fire safety labels, don't we?
You do, yes. Well, if you saw the Environmental Audit Committee's report that came out yesterday, you'll see that they were highly critical of the government, the Department of Business mainly, because it's known for 5 years that these regulations don't work. It's failed to put them right. The Environmental Audit Committee recommended that they should change those laws. This was based on my advice to fire safety laws that work, but also do not need to use vast amounts of toxic flame-retardant chemicals. They also advised that children's mattresses should be taken out of scope of these regulations, because at the moment, all our children are sleeping on masses of flame-retardant chemicals, many of which have been found to be toxic.
Okay, so
I
was just going to say, because I'm very concerned about this.
Yeah, well, you should be.
Yeah.
you've got children.
Yeah, why don't we know this stuff?
Well, that's quite a complicated question. However, exactly the same issues, exactly the same chemicals went on in America. The US is far more up to speed about all of this than we are. 5 years ago, they changed their furniture flammability fire safety standards so that there was no longer any need for flame-retardant chemicals. Also, their firefighters were well aware a long time ago that they were getting far more cancers than normal, and that these were linked to flame-retardants when they burn. Our firefighters are just becoming aware of this. As I said, a contaminants group formed up a few months ago. The terrible thing was they only found out about this through looking at my website. They hadn't been informed by their management, by their leadership, that they're going into highly toxic fires every day and that this is giving them far greater levels of cancer than the average person.
So, to put it in layman's terms, the mattresses our children are sleeping on, they may not burn, they may not burst into flames, but the toxic fumes coming off them, even not on fire, can cause problems.
Yes. Well, though they do burst into fire, that's the problem.
Oh, they do
as
well. Oh.
Yeah, well, I used to be responsible for these regulations in the Department for Business, and what we wanted to do was change them in order to reduce the amount of flame-retardant chemicals. At that time, we thought they worked. But when we did the research, we made the shocking discovery that they don't even work. That the main ignition test under those regulations fails in 90% of cases. This has all been proven. It's on the Department for Business's website. You can go and have a look at this very moment. However, you've got to bear in mind there's an awful lot of money to be made from flame-retardant chemicals. I estimate that the flame-retardant industry makes about $300 million a year just from chemicals in furniture.
So what do they do? They take my sofa, for example, and they spray it in chemicals to make it hopefully not burst into flames if you drop a match on it.
Pretty much, yeah. The fillings will be packed out with various flame-retardant chemicals. There's two main classes, but I won't get into that for now. And the cover fabrics of your sofa and your mattress will be, where sofas are concerned, it's normally the fabric is back-coated.
Right.
Underneath the fabric, you've got this kind of chemical paste that's based on. I mean, the stuff wears off as soon as you start sitting on it, and it gets into your skin, into your blood. We've proven that the UK homes have the highest levels of flame-retardant dust in the world, and mother's breast milk has the highest levels of flame-retardant dust in the world. Now,
chemicals on our furniture is not the answer to the problem, especially if they fail. Then what is the answer to making sure that our furniture doesn't set on fire, apart from not setting it on fire?
Well, the point is that the deaths from furniture catching fire are actually quite rare. So the question is really, we should be looking at it in terms of, is it worth around 45 kilograms of toxic flame retardant going to every person's home for the sake of... even if the industry is correct at the number of lives that are saved by these regulations, and they're not, even if they were, we worked out it would take something like 6 million kilograms of flame retardants to perhaps save one life. And of course, even then, when flame retardants burn, they actually make fires far more toxic. So even if you survived, the question would be for how long?
What smoke you're inhaling? Is the suggestion, therefore, that because furniture fires... I mean, I remember the old adverts in the sort of late 70s, early 80s, I think, when they used to put on the television about a cigarette or a candle. Do you remember those?
Yes, I used to work with the people that put those together.
So a candle would drop onto a sofa or whatever, and within a second, the whole thing was up in flames.
Yes.
That's why these retardants were brought in, presumably.
Well, it's a bit complicated. We have the toughest furniture flammability laws in the world, and they came into place in 1988, but there was an awful lot of pressure at that time from very powerful chemical companies to bring in these regulations. They were constantly looking for new markets for these products. So they were brought in on the basis that, furniture fillings particularly are highly flammable. However, as I said, there is now no proof at all that these regulations actually save lives. In the scenarios you just mentioned, the one that's really dangerous is if you drop a cigarette on the sofa and then you go to bed, and that cigarette may ignite the sofa maybe an hour or two later, and then you're trapped upstairs with a fire downstairs. This is why the Environment Audit Committee recommending that the UK should do what the rest of the world does and just have a cigarette test. That takes care of the potentially dangerous fires, and that can be met without any flame retardant chemicals.
You know, I'm not going to sleep tonight. I'm not going to sleep for fear of toxic chemicals and or fire, or both.
Well, I quite understand. That's why I've made sure the furniture in my house doesn't contain flame retardant chemicals. They're not required by law. It's just the cheapest way to comply with the law. So you can find sofas and mattresses that don't contain flame-retardant chemicals, but it will tend to be more expensive because they'll have to use naturally fire-resistant materials like wood and cotton and so forth. But you can find them. Other than that, I would recommend to your listeners that buy from abroad. But no one else in Europe uses flame-retardant chemicals in their sofas and mattresses.
Well, I mean, you've opened my eyes to a problem I didn't even know existed. So thank you very much indeed. Crikey. Terry Edge there, fire safety expert who specialises in furniture flammability.